Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Okay, well, the word Christianity conjures up so many different images for so many different people. For some, it's, I guess, church buildings and traditions. For others, it's contemporary music, lively community, wholesome family values. For others, again, it might be morals, social justice, political action. All these are, of course, good things. But author Leonard Sweet says there's something entirely missing from these pictures, and that's Jesus Christ. In his latest book, co-authored with Frank Viola, it's called Jesus Manifesto, he says, quote, "Christianity is Christ, nothing more and nothing less." He's on the line to have a chat about it. Leonard Sweet, welcome to Open House.
Hey, great to be with you.
You say that in the church, the person of Jesus Christ is being replaced by other things. In what way have we been, I guess, distracted when it comes to the Christian church, the modern Christian church, away from what you say is ultimately the central thing, that's Jesus himself?
Well, I think modern Christianity, Sheridan, is really more modern than it is Christian. That's one of our problems, is that we're so reflecting the culture and the world in which we live that we've lost the uniqueness of what Christianity is really about. I can go to some leadership conferences and notice that word leadership. We have this leadership fetish going on. And I can go to these leadership conferences and I don't even hear the name Jesus mentioned. It's celebrity culture. It's a Christian celebrity culture. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Christianity only has one celebrity, and he's one who refused to be a celebrity, and that was Jesus the Christ. So we have a daughter. I have four boys and one girl. She's my "be careful what you pray for, baby, you may get it," my daughter. So we named her. It was very carefully chosen. And we named her Soren, after Soren Kierkegaard. Yeah. Because, I mean, here's this philosopher, this theologian, but he had one thing, and I don't even put this in the book because it was just kind of a little too special. The line that got my daughter named after him was this. He said, "A believer, after all, is someone in love." Now, he didn't say a believer, after all, is somebody who has finally got all the answers to all the questions. He didn't say a believer is somebody who lives with intellectual certainty about life, but someone who's hopelessly head over heels in love. Hmm. And this is what it meant, used to mean, to be a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, to be head over heels in love with the Messiah, with Christ. When the early church said Jesus is Lord, they didn't mean Jesus is my core value or Jesus is my fundamental principle of life. It revolved around this person and a relationship, which means that really truth for us is a relationship. Mm-hmm. So this is an attempt to vent a little bit on my part and on Frank's part about what is the real pivot point of Christianity.
Yes. What do you think are the most common distractions for churches today, then, to, I guess, distract us away from that one true love?
Well, and as the Bible talks about, the love you had at first, which I love, you know, in Revelation. But I think there are, and all these things are good. You mentioned some of them. Leadership is one. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody, you know, everybody's on this leadership kick. Now, I've got a fundamental critique of this because you can't basically find the word leader in the New Testament, but you do find the word follower hundreds of times.
That's interesting.
And that's part of our problem.
Yeah.
Jesus is the leader. We are the follower. And see, we don't like our category. We'd much rather be the leader. So I think that's why. But another good thing is, let's take another one, social justice. You know, and everybody's about social justice. Everybody wants social justice. Although, clearly, Micah 6:8 is a great text we share with our Hebrew brothers and sisters. What does the Lord require of you? We're to do justice, but we're to love mercy and then to walk humbly. Hmm. And I think a lot of the church loves justice, although I don't think at Judgment Day we're going to stand before God and say, okay, I've given my life to justice, now it's my turn, give me justice. I think it's going to be, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy. We've got to love mercy, we've got to do justice. But we've got all these other things, you know, and then we've tried to do, you know, the seeker-sensitive church and the purpose-driven church. And notice, purpose-driven, not person-driven, but purpose-driven. But then we've done organic church and missional church and, you know, the fundamental things that Jesus taught us to do, like a praying church. we haven't talked about, or what about just to be the body of Christ, to be the church? So, so a lot of these distractions are—they're not bad, but they are distractions, and that's the power of a temptation that leads us in not such bad directions, but the ones that really focus us on something other than what we should be focused on.
And there's a certain trend aspect to some of the things that you've talked about there too. I mean, these things kind of come in trend waves, don't they?
They do, exactly. This is, again, one of our problems, is that Jesus gave us a way to be to interact with the culture. We're to be in the culture, but we're not to be of it. I mean, that's the key in 17. So whatever the culture is, I don't care what the culture is, you know, we're to be in a consumer culture. Let's put it like that. We're to be in it, but don't become of it. We're to be in, you know, postmodern culture, whatever you call it in Australia, but we're not to be of it. So we've become not just, too much of the church has become not just in it, but we've become of it. And that's where the danger is.
This is Open House, right across the nation. You're listening to Leonard Sweet. He's the co-author of Jesus Manifesto. Just raising this question, has the Christian church, and I would suggest even the culture at large, missed the central point of Christianity? And that's Jesus Christ of Nazareth himself. Okay, now I want to kind of go through a sketch of who Jesus is in just a second, but one of the other things that you say can also be a bit of a problem before we get to that is also to, I guess, have a little bit of a polarizing understanding of Jesus himself. So we can either look at Jesus from the Gospels, those amazing stories, those biographies of Jesus and his life, or the Jesus of the rest of the New Testament, primarily from, say, the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. I think I've been a part of this. A good deal of my early Christian life was primarily spent reading through the Apostle Paul's letters and getting an understanding of Jesus from that. In more recent years, I've gone back and rediscovered the Gospels. Why do we polarize, and what's the problem with doing that?
I think we've got to do the whole Gospel, the whole story. And Sheridan, I mean, if you look at Paul, and this is, Paul is not a, we make Paul into this doctrinal guy, you know, and it's all about these doctrines about Jesus. But Paul is absolutely focused on one thing, and that is, what did Jesus do? He died, he rose again, and he's coming back. That's what Paul is absolutely fixated on. And all of, and this is totally congruent with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because all of their stories, these stories of Jesus, are all stories that are preparing the way for us to the story of his life, which is the story of his living, his dying, his rising, and his returning. So I think it's partly we've sliced and diced the Bible too much. And you know, the Bible was written in verses. That's what we've done to it. We forced on the Bible these chapters and verses, and we focused on words and verses. The Bible was actually written in stories and psalms and letters. And so we've got to, I think, return to a much more organic and holistic approach to the scriptures, where, you know, it's all of a piece. And we do not, Sheridan, I'll guarantee you, the people who are listening right now, they, if they know the Bible at all, they don't know the stories. They know the verses. Everybody who knows the Bible has an acute case of versitis, because we did not learn the stories. We learned the verses. Let me use one more example. Jesus healed thousands of people, but we only know the stories of 35 of them. There's 35 people. That's the body count of people Jesus healed, men, women, and children, that we know about in the scriptures. 35 stories of healing, Jesus healing people. How many can any of your listeners right now, or how many can anybody who's listening right now, how many of the story, those healing stories can you tell?
Mm-hmm.
How many of those stories do you know of people that Jesus healed and how it changed their life?
Yes.
See, we don't even think that way. We're thinking in these, you know, we got these little
atoms, really.
Bullets called verses.
Yes, atomistic, really, whereas we need to get back
holistic.
Yeah,
atomistic.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah, a holistic. So keeping that in mind then, and take as long as you like on this, sketch out a picture of Jesus for us. I know this is a big call, and I haven't prepped you for this, but sketch out a picture of Jesus, particularly maybe emphasizing aspects that we have lost then with that atomized approach.
Great question.
Yeah,
okay. And partly this is what we need to do is connect the whole story, right? Jesus is the last Adam, Sheridan. I mean, this is the story of the scriptures. What's the first Adam? First Adam was the fully human being. But Adam and Eve lost that humanity by the pride and disobedience. And so these four broken relationships that you find in Genesis, the broken relationship with God, with ourselves, with each other, and with creation, those four broken relationships that were ruptured in the garden and when Adam and Eve disobeyed and ate of that knowledge tree, which is really a relationship tree. That's what knowledge means, relationship. So they were banished. And the whole story then is God's attempt to bring us back into the garden, because God wants us to be God created us to be human, and a human is in this unique relationship with God, where God walks the garden, God talks with us, God walks with us, and we have this really intimate relationship with God. So God tries everything. God tries a covenant, God tries floods, and nothing works. So finally, God says, okay, I'm faithful, I got to go for broke, because I got to get these humans back into this garden relationship with me. So then God steps in, literally, God steps in. And Jesus, and this is biblical theology here, you find it in John, you find it in Paul, you find it elsewhere, is the last Adam. And what is the function of Jesus as the last Adam? He is to repair and redeem those four broken relationships that keep us from being who God made us to be, authentic, original human beings. Mm-hmm. The first Adam, what did he do for a living? He was a gardener. How do you know Jesus' mission is complete? Who's the first person he appears to after his resurrection? Mary. Hmm. Does she recognize him? No. Who does she think he was?
The gardener.
The gardener. Yeah, exactly. We're back in the garden, see? So the whole mission of Jesus, in fact, his favorite description for himself is, we translate it as son of man. Oh, it really means the human being. Hmm. Jesus is the ultimate human being, the kind of human being that God made us and wants us to be. And so his mission is to bring us back into that garden, to repair and redeem those four broken relationships, so that we then can be authentic, real human beings, the original human. And that's the whole story. That's the story that we're missing, because we're so focused on all this other stuff, and
yes,
we fail to read the whole story.
Yeah.
And that's why Revelation really is just a mirror image of Genesis. You start off in a garden, you end in a garden city. You start off with these trees, you end with this tree. It's just a parallel image of one another as the story and the promise and hope is laid out.
Yes. Open House is what you're listening to. Leonard Sweet is the co-author of Jesus Manifesto, and we're talking about, Jesus being the center of the Christian movement. 1-300-40-2020 for your comments and your thoughts. I'd love to hear them. I love that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that talks about, we with unveiled faces each behold his glory and are being transformed into his likeness. I grew up I became a Christian in a Christian tradition that really emphasized that, Jesus died to, avert the anger and just punishment that I deserved for all the sins that I had done. I firmly believe that, still do. I guess the message that I discovered later on is that salvation is actually not just about that. It's actually about me becoming like Jesus. It's actually about all of us actually becoming, like you said, him living his life through us, so that we become to emulate in our own unique personal ways his very goodness in us.
Yeah, and that goodness and that beauty and that truth, all three go together.
Mm-hmm.
Those three transcendentals of being is what Aquinas called them, goodness, beauty, and truth. And that's the essence of, how do you know Christ is present? Look for goodness, look for beauty, and look for truth. We often forget the beauty part.
Yes.
But God's in the beauty business. Remember back in the garden, there were two trees. The first thing God made after God made the garden and all that, was the trees. God loves trees, and God made two kinds of trees. One, some trees to bear fruit, but other trees that he just made just to be beautiful. And just, when you just think about that for a minute, just ponder the fact that God made some trees for no other purpose other than just to be beautiful. And we forget. And this is a call to all the artists. How the church needs you. You in the beauty business.
Awakening glimpses of the beauty that is to come as well. The beauty that's already here but marred, but the amazing beauty that's going to be in the future too. So, Leonard, give us some pointers then on what, I guess, three different groups I'm thinking of, three different groups could do from this point on to re-center around Jesus. Like you said before at the beginning of our conversation, Christians and the Christian church in general at the moment, particularly in the Western world, it's the two-thirds world that probably can be teaching us a lot more about this, but in the Western world, we've focused on other issues. Might be social justice, might be evangelism, might be whatever it might be, to the detriment of Jesus being the center. How can we recalibrate towards the center? First group, what do you think that Christian leaders should be doing from this point on to kind of recalibrate around Jesus?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is just to start learning the stories of Jesus. And there's an old song, I don't know if you grew up singing, and I love to tell the story, or tell me the stories of Jesus. And we are telling a lot of stories, but how many stories of Jesus are we telling? And, you know, ministers have become almost social workers. Preachers have become motivational speakers. You know, evangelism has become marketing. And let's really immerse ourselves and saturate our souls. Let's look at the Bible as a spa and just soak in it and just learn these stories. That's one big thing, is just learn the stories again of Jesus and his love. And I think issues of identity are absolutely key to every single person. And we get our identity, basically, we need to get our identity from stories. Everybody will develop in some form or another a narrative identity. And for me, what it means to be a follower of Jesus and to make him supreme in my life is that my narrative identity is shaped by these stories of Jesus.
How do those stories shape our lives in a practical way? How do those stories of the Bible shape our lives, make us, you know, give us an identity?
Everything I do, I relate to one of these biblical stories, one of these stories of Jesus. And so the story of the prodigal son that wandered far, I mean, this is my story. I wandered far. The story of the woman who just wanted to get a touch of his garment, and he could feel her closeness. That's my story too. My identity is being shaped then, not by Hollywood stories and by Madison Avenue stories and not by Lady Gaga stories. And we seem to know those stories. I mean, we even know. I asked my daughter, "Do you know what size shoe Lady Gaga has?" She goes, "Yeah, 11." I mean, how do you know this? Well, because they know the stories of these celebrities. You know, they kind of track these stories. No. These are the wrong stories. Let's get the right narratives, the right stories.
And what does this mean then for a Christian leader's preaching and his teaching or her teaching? What should be the emphasis there?
Well, it's huge, because we're lifting up all sorts of other things other than precisely these stories. And we're at a point in the U.S., I don't know where you are in Australia, but we've got about 10% of the U.S. American population that thinks Joan of Arc was married to Noah. I mean, this is how we are so disconnected.
Oh, dear. You
know? And that's because a lot of people don't even know who Noah is. I mean, we don't even know these stories. So I think that just talking about these stories is key to preaching.
I'm sure all of that could actually fit for the individuals as well, in terms of just knowing the story of the Bible, particularly the Gospels, then they kind of shape everything else, don't they? But then what else could individual folks listening to us, me, you, what can we be doing in terms of, I guess, recalibrating around Jesus centrally? You think about the "What Would Jesus Do" craze that happened a few years ago, and it was all about, you know, all asking yourself, what would Jesus do in this particular situation? Is something like that needed again, do you think?
Well, the problem with that, the WWJD stuff, is that it's predicated on the fact that he's dead. You know, what would Jesus do?
Yes.
And that's the problem. And so one of the biggest things that we can do, and I've just written a follow-up book to Jesus' Manifesto on this, is not what would Jesus do, but what is Jesus doing? Uh-huh. And this is a whole different way of thinking about what it means to live the faith, and that is, I assume that everybody I meet, that God is already working in that person's life. It's not that I take Jesus to anybody, Sheridan. When I meet somebody or talk to somebody or go someplace, it's not that I've got Jesus in my backpack and I'm taking him there. He is already, long before I get there, he is already present. what is Jesus up to in this person's life? What is God doing? And then you look and learn about what is Jesus doing so I can grow more and learn more and be more open to allowing him to work and to play in my life.
The third group that I have in mind is actually folks who wouldn't call themselves Christians or even religious, but are still, I guess, broad-minded, open-minded, just, you know, open-minded to actually be listening to these kind of conversations that you and I are having now. When most people think of Christianity, they think of steeples or they think of buildings, or unfortunately at the moment they're thinking of negative headlines for some priests who have been doing the wrong thing. This is for the whole world, isn't it? Is that if we're going to be thinking about Christianity, cut through all of these secondary, even third level areas and go back to the person of Jesus himself.
Exactly. And understand that the whole mission of Jesus is to show us how to be that original, authentic, pure human being that God made us to be. So I just say to people, of whatever religious tradition they are, or none, I think Jesus is your best shot at being an authentic human being. And I challenge them with that. If you can find somebody else that's a better model for what it means to be an authentic human being, go for it. But I think your best shot at what it means to be an authentic human being is Jesus. Why don't you just get on the way with him and just try it out and see what happens. And see, I think that this is, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I think there's somewhat of a sequence there. I mean, I don't want to be hard and fast here about developmental stuff because I don't really like it. But there is Jesus, when he called these disciples to follow him, he didn't say, now, you can't follow me until you say I'm the Messiah. He just said, will you trust me enough just to follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Just give me a shot. Just try me out. Hang out with me and see what happens. Then there comes a time, there will come a time, when we have to decide, is he or is he not the truth? Is he or is he not the Messiah? But initially, it's just try me enough to get on the way with me. I'm going to ask you to change anything. Just give me a shot. Mm-hmm. See if I'm not your best portal, your best chance, your best shot at being the whole human being that God made you to be and God wants you to be. That again, focuses it all on Christ.
Yes. Well, it's been good to talk to you, Leonard. Thanks for your time in Open House tonight.
Hey, great to talk to you. And can I leave with one quote?
Sure.
I understand you did interview Larry Crabb a while back.
We did.
And
yeah. It,
one of his greatest quotes for me, I think I put this in the book, was, our passion for Jesus is the only passion that will not destroy us.
Mm.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
Our passion for Jesus is the only passion that will not destroy us.
Like it.
So I honor Larry Crabb tonight.
Indeed.
Thank
Indeed.
God for him. Well, and for you, Sheridan. Thank you. Thank
and
you, brother.
You too. Leonard Sweet and his co-author, Frank Viola, the authors of Jesus Manifesto. Of course, this is one of numerous books that Leonard and both Frank, actually, have authored. But Jesus Manifesto. Love your thoughts. 1-300-40-2020 is my number.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.